Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
My name is April Colquitt. I have the pleasure of being on staff here at Wellspring. The song that we just sang a moment ago, Spirit of the Living God, there's a line that I love. It says, when you come into the room, you change what we see and what we seek. And that is our prayer for you today, that God would change what you see and what you seek today. That's actually what this series, 2020 Vision, is all about. We have been learning to see the way God sees us. And when we begin to see the way God sees us, it changes the way that we see our life, and our life gets better. So if you've missed any of the last couple of weeks that Trey has been teaching this series, I want to encourage you to go back and catch up, because there's some incredible content there that he has used to encourage us as we set out on this next decade of our life of 2020. And before we get into what we're going to talk about today, I kind of wanted to give you guys a little behind-the-scenes preview of what goes on at Wellspring Church. We have an awesome pastor. As I said, his name is Trey Kelly. If you don't know him, we are so blessed. Yes, you can clap for him. We are so blessed by his leadership. It is an honor for us who are on staff here and anyone who volunteers here for us to serve under his incredible leadership. One of Trey's strengths as a leader is that he is very strategic and very intentional about everything that he does. And so when it comes to what he's teaching and to the series that he has planned, he plans way in advance, like months in advance. And so he spends a lot of time studying and praying and preparing for what God wants him to communicate to us as a church. And then he comes to us as a staff, and we talk about those messages, and we sort of break them down and have discussions around them. And so when we started preparing for 2020 Vision, Trey came to us and shared with us what he was going to communicate, and then he asked me to teach on this date. Now, usually when Trey asks one of us on staff to teach, he gives us the freedom to choose whatever we want to talk about, anything that we feel like God's put in our heart that we want to share and we want to teach. But this time was a little bit different. When Trey asked me to teach, he said, unless there is something really pressing that God has given you that you want to talk about, what I would like for you to teach is this. Your future is brighter than you imagine. Your future is brighter than you imagine. Now, when he said that, what was going through my mind at the time might be the thoughts that are going through your head right now. The future is bright. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Now, I didn't say that to him because I don't want to disrespect him. I'm pretty sure I tried to conceal what I was thinking with the look on my face, but I'm not always good at doing that. I wear my feelings and my emotions outward. I know that. So I don't know if he saw right through it or not, but I'm telling you today, since he's not here, I will confess to you that when he told me he wanted me to teach, your future is brighter than you imagine, I wasn't that excited. Of all the times for him to choose what he was going to tell me to teach, had to be that. And I was just thinking, how is the future bright? It's flu season, and it's tax season. And I had just had a really difficult week where one thing after another was going wrong. Our family was a hot mess. We could not get it together. And I don't know about you, but when I have days like that, the future does not look bright, you know? At New Year's, Eric and I had the opportunity to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and take some college students to a big conference there called Passion 2020. It's this huge conference that they put on for kids who are 18 to 25 years old. Now, I know you're probably wondering, are you a college student? No, but I am pretty much in that age bracket. I mean, close enough. I figure it's more about how you feel, and I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. Are y'all not Taylor Swift fans? If you're not, then I will not use that joke next service. Anyways, the first night that we were there at this conference, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to the sound of a helicopter flying over the house where we were staying in near downtown Atlanta. And then our room lit up with the light of a searchlight from the helicopter. And I knew that couldn't be good. And so I laid there listening to this helicopter that was apparently circling our neighborhood and the area. And then a few minutes later, I heard two gunshots that sounded like they were just down the street. So what I'm telling you is that at 5 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day, of all the thoughts that were going through my mind, not a single one of them was your future is brighter than you can imagine. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. Because see, there are real issues right here in this room. Things like stress and anxiety and depression and job loss and infertility and loss of loved ones. And that is why when I heard your future is brighter than you imagine, it caused me to pause and ask myself, do I really believe that to be true? And I've spent some time thinking this over. I know you're just hearing it for the first time, but I've thought a lot about this and I've come to a conclusion. And I want to share it with you this morning if you will allow me to. See, what I've realized is that I believe in God. And I believe that God's word, the Bible, is 100% true. And so I can believe that my future is brighter than I imagine. And if you also believe in God, that you believe God is who he says he is, and if you believe that his Bible, his word, is 100% true, then you also can and should believe that your future is brighter than you imagine. Now, I know there might be some of you here in this room or you're watching online, and you're not sure if you believe in God. You just came with a friend today, or you're just watching online because you're trying to figure this all out. And you're certainly not sure whether or not you believe that the Bible is 100% truth. But that's okay. You came to the right place today to learn more. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you today and you're just not sure, lean in. You might hear something that will cause you to change your mind, especially if you decide that you want the hope of a brighter future. And I can tell you that a brighter future first starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But a brighter future also requires for us to shift our perspective. If we're really going to believe and trust that we have a brighter future, then we have to shift our perspective. See, most of us, many of us in this room, don't see past the horizon of this world. If you go out to the beach and you look across the expanse of the ocean, you can see for several miles into the distance. If you go a little bit higher, you stand on the 7th or 8th floor of a condo, or you climb a mountain, you can see even further. In the fall, Eric and I took our family to Chimney Rock, North Carolina. And the day that we hiked to the top of Chimney Rock, it was a beautiful, clear day. And they say that on a day like that, you can see as far as 75 miles into the distance. 75 miles is a long way. Just to put that in context, that's from here to Wilmington. That's a long way. But even at 75 miles, we're really only seeing what's right in front of us. There's another 24,826 miles of the earth that we can't see from the top of Chimney Rock. Yes, I did my homework. At some point, we learned the circumference of the earth, but I don't remember, so I had to look it up. But there's 24,826 miles of the earth that we can't see even from the top of something as high as Chimney Rock, even if we were to look through a telescope. And so what I'm telling you is that our human vision is short-sighted. We need corrective lenses, so to speak. And God gives us the corrective lenses by helping us to look through the lens of eternity. And so with that in mind, I want us to spend the next few minutes unpacking this statement. Your future is brighter than you imagine. Your future is brighter than you imagine. If you are already a believer in Jesus, then you just need to put on the corrective lenses to see that your brighter future is the promise of heaven. How many people do you know that go to the doctor, the eye doctor, complaining that they can't see well and their vision is blurry, and so the eye doctor will prescribe them some type of corrective lenses, like glasses or contact lenses. But then you see them sitting at their desk at work squinting to see their computer screen. Or you see them doing like this with their phone. Do you know people who do that? And you think to yourself, if only there were a solution for that. Hello, put your glasses on. We do the same thing as Christians, oddly enough. We don't like what we see, and we're frustrated by how blurry things look. But when Jesus is your leader, your future is brighter than you imagine. You just have to put on the corrective lenses to see that your brighter future is the promise of heaven. How often, when is the last time that you heard someone talk about heaven? We don't talk about it a lot. We spend a lot of time talking about right here and right now and the present and how we get through the day to day. And that is very important information. We need the right tools and we need the right guides and map books to navigate this life, this world. But this world is not our home. We're not at our final destination yet. And when you think of the sort of pessimistic view that I gave you as we started, it makes a little bit more sense to realize that we're really just traveling through. We're kind of just aliens living on another planet. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And if your mind is starting to drift right now, I want to encourage you to stay with me, because I want to introduce you to someone who can explain this much better than I can, because he's a lot smarter than me. And some of you who come to Wellspring a lot know him because we talk about him all the time. His name is Paul. And Paul, if you don't know who he was an early convert to Christianity. And Paul, once he became a Christian, he was so passionate about telling other people who Jesus was and helping other people to follow Jesus that he was willingly tortured and thrown into prison on numerous occasions. Paul knew well what it meant to suffer and to be in pain. He did not have a comfortable, easy life by any means. And so I think it's really interesting for us to read what Paul has to say about a brighter future. So if you want to follow along with me today, we're going to be reading mostly from the book of Romans, which is Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 8. So before we get into that scripture, let me kind of set up for you what Paul is saying at the beginning of chapter 8. He says, if anyone is in Christ, meaning if you believe in Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus and made him the leader of your life, then you are now led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, then you are no longer subject to the consequences of sin. Instead, you've been given life and freedom by the blood that Jesus shed for you on the cross. For you, as a believer, death is canceled and freedom has been granted. So Paul spends a couple of paragraphs explaining all of that, and then he adds this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. As a believer, you don't just get freedom, which is pretty awesome, but you also become a child of God. Now think back to when you were a child, or think about your own children if you have them. There are benefits to being a kid. Some of us would say, we would love to go back to being a kid. Because when you're a kid, when you're a child, there are provisions made for you that you can't obtain on your own, like food and clothing and shelter. You have someone to ask you about your day, to hug you, to read you nighttime stories, to tuck you in at night. And when you're a child, you don't have to worry about things like paying your bills or filing your income tax, because you are a dependent of someone else. There are benefits to that. So in the same way, as children of God, we no longer have to worry about the consequences of this world. Why? Because God has claimed us as his dependents. Let's keep reading. Paul says, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When you're a believer, when you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you become a part of God's family. You have a new name. You have belonging. And not only that, here comes the most amazing part. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. co-heirs with Christ. An heir is someone who is legally entitled to the property and estate of another person. Jesus, as God's son, is entitled. He is heir to the throne. But as God's adopted children, we are also heirs to the throne. Not fourth or fifth in line, not third or second in line, co-heirs to the throne, equal with Jesus Christ. That means that you are entitled to all of the estate and property of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I was your estate attorney, you might say, well, what exactly does my inheritance include? Well, for starters, your inheritance includes the freedom from and forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin, freedom. Your debt is paid. Death is canceled and freedom is granted to you. Your inheritance also includes a brand new body in heaven. A body that doesn't age or turn gray. I'm going to save so much money when I get to heaven. A body that doesn't wrinkle or sag. A body that doesn't get tired or sick. And wait for this, a body that does not need a diet or a workout plan ever again. You can celebrate that on the third week of January 2020. You're going to get to eat all the donuts you want, okay? And not feel bad about it. Your inheritance includes perfect life in heaven with God, where there is no more sin or brokenness, no more broken hearts, no more stress, no more anxiety, no more tears, no more sickness, no more crying. Perfect life with God in his presence. Your inheritance includes a brand new home. A brand new home, one that is more extravagant and beautiful than anything our minds or Joanna Gaines can comprehend, okay? A beautiful new home. The last book of the Bible is called Revelation. And Revelation is the recording of what John saw in a vision that God gave him. When John saw this vision, he saw what would happen when Jesus returns, and he saw pictures of heaven in this vision. And John says that heaven is made of pure, exquisite gold and jewels. He says there is a river of crystal clear, life-giving water that runs through the middle of heaven. And he said that there is a tree of life that is bursting with fruit of all kinds. John says that there's no moon or sun in heaven. It's not needed because the light of Jesus is so radiant that he illuminates all of heaven. So see, when Jesus is your leader, your future is literally brighter than you can possibly imagine. It's brighter than you can possibly imagine. We have all of that and so much more as a guaranteed inheritance of our future. You might say, well, I want all of that. That sounds amazing. Who doesn't want a new body and perfect life and a new home and freedom? Brothers and sisters who are in Jesus today, it is yours. You have it as a guarantee. That is something for you to look forward to. But Paul says there's something else. He says that if we are co-heirs with Christ, to be co-heirs, there's something else. He says, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul says, to be co-heirs, there will be some suffering. Jesus stepped down from a throne of endless praise and glory in heaven and came to this place where it's broken, where sin exists, and he endured it for our benefit. Jesus paid the price for our adoption into sonship by the blood that he shed on the cross. And so Paul says that if we're going to share in his sonship, then we're going to have to share in his suffering. If Jesus did it, we do too. And to follow Jesus means that we're giving up our own rights and that we are resisting the pressures and the patterns of conforming to this world. And that comes with a price. But no amount of suffering that we endure can compare to the great price that Jesus paid to rescue us. Nor can any amount of suffering that we experience compared to the future glory that will be ours in heaven. Paul says it this way: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He says the hardships of right now will be no more than a blip on the screen when we see the full picture of what heaven will be like. And that's really hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to understand eternity. But I want to try to illustrate for you just a little bit of what Paul is saying. I've got some friends who are going to come out and help me. You guys give it up for Carol Grace and Colin. All right, you guys come on out. So imagine with me for just a minute that eternity is one long, infinite line. I know for you geometry nerds, this is a line segment, but we're using our imaginations, okay? So imagine this is one long line that goes all the way that way as far as you can see and all the way this way as far as you can see. And let's just imagine that Colin's end of the line is eternity past. It's already happened. You're in the past, Colin, okay? We love you, though. And imagine that Carol Grace's end of the line is eternity future. Next year, next week, 10 years from now, 2 decades from now, and on past this world. Eternity future. Now let's just imagine that this dot is your life from beginning to end. All of it. This is it right here, this dot. So the days that you're living right now could be really great, or they might not be so great. You might have some moments and accomplishments that you're really proud of. There could be some other things that you're not so proud of. Maybe you have some things that you're really looking forward to, some seasons coming up, a new marriage or a graduation, or maybe a new business adventure, or you're moving a kid out of the house. Or maybe there are some moments that you're dreading, that you're not looking forward to, like you got called up for jury duty, or you have got to file your taxes, or maybe you have a surgery that's coming up that you're dreading, or some situation that you've got to deal with and finally face. I don't want to exaggerate or minimize any of the moments of your life. Every single moment, every minute, every detail matters to God because you are extremely valuable to Him. But really, these measurable days are just a dot on the line when we're comparing it to the immeasurable length of eternity, especially when you already have an inheritance, the promise of heaven waiting for you. That's what Paul is saying here in this verse. Thank you, guys. Do you know Paul says that all of creation is groaning as in the pains of labor as we wait for Jesus to return? I have had 3 children, and I've had 3 labors. And my first child did not come into this world easily. It was a very long and painful, drawn-out process. 22 hours of labor, and I will spare you the rest of the graphic details. But if someone had told me in the middle of that labor that I would forget all about how long and difficult it was once I took a look at that beautiful redhead, I would have said, yeah, right. And I probably would have had some other choice words to say along with that, that we can't say right now. But my mother was there for the worst part of that labor, and she all but begged me not to ever do that again. And that was her first grandchild. That's how bad it was. But when I was holding Allie in my arms for the very first time, I wasn't thinking about how long and difficult that 22 hours had been because she had finally arrived safe and healthy. And that's all that mattered. And 15 months later, I was pregnant again. Jesus said to his disciples that our life would be just like that. On the last night that he spent with his disciples before he was arrested, here's what he said. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. so with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Christ follower, when you see Jesus face to face, no one or nothing will ever take away that joy from you again. It's hard right now, and things seem weird and wrong and messed up and inside out and upside down some days, but that's because of sin. But as a child of God, sin doesn't own you anymore. Sin no longer has a hold in your life. And so as God's child, you can put on your corrective lenses and look beyond eternity into the distance and see that your future is brighter than you imagine. Your future is brighter than you imagine. So you may be wondering, we're just supposed to suffer here until eternity starts? Not exactly. See, Paul says that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit as the first installment of our inheritance. It's sort of the down payment to our inheritance. As soon as you surrender your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. You have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, which means you have the presence of God with you right now. And as His Holy Spirit dwells in you, you also have access to God's power. You have access to the characteristics of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You have access to all of that, and those are the things that help us in our weakest moments. Those are the things that help us navigate the suffering and the difficulty and the tensions of this world. Plus, as God's child, you can ask for anything in Jesus' name, and He promises to provide you with everything you need to live an abundant and satisfying life right here, both now and later. So now you have the presence of God with you, you have the power of God with you, and you have access to ask Him for anything. So what I'm telling you, Christ follower, person who has made Jesus the leader of your life, your future starts now. Your future starts right now. It will get infinitely and exponentially better on the other side. But right now, you have the power of God in your life. You have His presence. You have access to Him. So your future starts now. We won't have the interference of this world to hinder us from God's presence in heaven. But you can begin to live now like your future is brighter because you know that it is. So you can hold on to hope. You can put on the lenses and look through eternity. Don't despair. You will still have pain. You will still have suffering. You will still get sick. You will still grieve, but not as someone who has no hope. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Paul says, it's getting hard, it's getting real, but we know we have a victory. Victory belongs to the Lord. We know we will win, so we don't have to lose hope. So when things are getting difficult, when things look blurry, look beyond the horizon and know that your future is brighter. And when you are looking through the lens of eternity, look around you, because not everything here will last forever. Only three things will last: God, God's word, and people. People, all people will spend a future in eternity. They will either spend a future in eternal life, or they will spend a future in a conscious state of eternal death. Everyone you know, everyone you see, the people in your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the person you bump aisles with in the aisles at Costco, the person who's directing traffic at your children's school, the person on the news, the person that they're interviewing on the news. Everyone has an eternity somewhere. And your future starts now. When Jesus is your leader, your future starts now, which means that you can begin to imagine a brighter future for someone else. Because you are headed to a place where there is a huge party going on. And it's a party where everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to the party in heaven. Heaven is not an exclusive country club or a private party. Everyone is invited to receive the inheritance of heaven. And so when we are in relationship with Jesus, when our faith is growing, we begin to see things as God sees. We begin to become more and more like Jesus if we're in a growing relationship with him, which means we begin to value things as God values, which also means you should begin to value the eternity of others the way that God does. Look around you. Who around you is suffering, but they don't have hope that you have? Who is crushed beneath the weight of the world? Who is struggling to keep their head above water and they don't have the hope and the promise of eternity? When we are seeing the way that God sees, we understand that we have the potential to impact someone else's eternity by the way that we live our life and how we handle our own circumstances, by our own attitudes. And that gives purpose to the time that we have right now. It gives purpose to that dot on the line, because you have the potential to impact someone else's eternity and where they spend their eternity. What could you do? Share with them what you believe about eternity. Invite them to come to church with you. One of the greatest benefits of being a part of God's family is we have a large family, and we can come to this family and draw strength and encouragement from one another in the hard times through the suffering. So maybe you just know someone who needs encouragement from people who get it. You can invite them to come sit with you where they might find hope of a brighter future. If you are someone who is not sure where your eternity will be spent, you have come to the right place today, because there are so many people here who would love to help you know how to start a brighter future by beginning a relationship with Jesus. When you leave here today, there is a room called the Blue Room. It's just off the front of our lobby, and there will be some people there who would love to talk to you. They would love to help you take a step towards securing a brighter future today. Don't wait. Don't wait, because your future can start now. As we get ready to close, I want to share with you a verse that a psalmist wrote as he was hoping for his days in heaven with God. He says this: "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Better is one day in heaven than 1,000 days anywhere else. You know what the psalmist is saying? He's saying, when Jesus is your leader, your future is brighter than you imagine. So don't despair. Don't lose hope. When things are getting tough and you're feeling the pressure and things look blurry, put on your corrective lenses. Look beyond the horizon and see that you have a brighter future. And it starts now. And you can begin by thanking God that he has secured an inheritance for you. Thank him that you have his presence and his power available to you right now. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for securing our future by the blood that you shed on the cross. God, we love you, and we recognize that you have adopted us into your family just because we believed in you. If there is anyone in this room, Father, who doesn't know you, who has not yet been called your child, I pray that they would know you, that they would know the hope of a brighter future today. Thank you that we have your presence and your power available to us. Thank you that we can come boldly before you and ask you for anything because you've claimed us as your own. Jesus, give us strength and hope as we walk out of this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.